Father, we bless you and thank you for the ministry that you have given us, Lord. The gift mix that you are developing in our inward parts. We pray for all things to be fashioned and formed in the character and nature of Jesus, so that he will always be the beloved who reigns in our hearts, that he will be preeminent in our inward parts, that in his preeminence, O God, we will do all things in righteousness and holiness of the truth, Lord. That we will always understand, Lord, that what you have given us is a gift that has been fashioned in Christ Jesus. It is something that is of him, and it is meant to be a revelation of him from within us and through us, Lord. It is his fullness that is meant to fill all in all. The scripture speaks of that very clearly. It is your will, Father, for all the fullness to dwell in him and to reconcile all things in him. And as we minister, we have to always understand that we are ministering some facet of the witness and testimony of Jesus. That is the privilege that you have given us. That no matter how powerful the anointing is, Lord, our response is always to the Master who leads us, the Master who is to be preeminent in our hearts, the Master who is the beloved, O God. And we pray, Father, that as you build us in the ministry, we will always understand that that ministry flows exclusively in his name. It must always be so. Because if it did not move exclusively in his name, if it was not an expression of the witness of blood, water, and spirit, Lord, the way that has been opened to us will be lost. And we pray that you will guard us and keep us in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will guard us and keep us by the Holy Spirit, Lord. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guard and keep within us the gift that you have given us in the name of Jesus. That what the Father has bequeathed to us will be nourished and be brought forth in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to turn to the book of 1 Timothy and look at some pointers that Paul gives Timothy even as he comes to the end of his ministry. Timothy is Paul's spiritual son. And Paul gives him some pointers that are important for us as we look at putting it all together. You have a gift that God has given you. You have a gift that God has given you, and that gift has been put into you through the laying on of hands. So if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, Paul says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And of a sound mind. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul writes, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery," which is the board of elders. So you have a gift. That gift would have been imparted to you in many different ways. But you are to value that gift. You are to remember the words that have been spoken into you, the words that were quickened to your heart by the Holy Spirit as to what God has purposed in you. It is God who appoints you for the ministry, and you're responsible in your ministry to God. You have human leaders and you are accountable to human leaders, that's true. But fundamentally, you are accountable to God. And the gift that has been put into you is a treasure. It is a treasure of awesome proportions because Jesus Christ paid a price so that you will have a gift to minister in. We started this whole series on moving into ministry by looking at a passage that Peter talks of In 1 Peter chapter 4, let's just turn to that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the gift that you have, that is to be expressed through your ministry, is an expression of the grace of God. So it is something that has been given in the merits of the Lamb. It is not because of you being something special. It's very important to remember that. Especially when you start seeing power starting to manifest very powerfully over you. So verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And it must be the ability which God supplies. And you must be alive to the fact that it is an enabling that God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. There is no meaning to you and me saying glory to God if in our hearts we are not doing it in the witness and testimony of Jesus. The only way you and I can have intimacy with God and be alive to God is in and by and through the name of Jesus, through the witness and testimony of Jesus. The gift that God has given you is something of a measure of what was consecrated in the life of Jesus, so that we will become sons of God in fully functional terms. And we are called to be a body that is to be gifted in an awesome array of giftings. What we see today is just the first fruits. And we need to understand that there is so much more to receive and to realize. But those things will only be realized as the mystery of Christ is open to our hearts. Because the gift is hidden in Christ. So in these times in which we are beginning to open the giftings that God has given us, it is very important that we learn how to use those giftings the right way. Because if you don't learn how to use those giftings the right way, you will never see the greater gifting that God has for you. You are being tested. You are being tried in the intents of your heart. In the intents of your heart. Let me show you something that Paul says that is so very important. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 7. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And for this I was appointed a preacher or an evangelist and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. What is Paul saying? I'm standing in a position, I'm standing in high office as an evangelist, I'm standing in high office as a teacher, I'm standing in a high office as an apostle, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. To verify this statement, if you will turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Verse 1. Here Paul writes, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. You see, his conscience bears him witness in the Holy Spirit that he is not lying. And he's standing in his office in that same reality. In that same reality. I am not telling a falsehood. I'm not proclaiming falsehood. I'm standing before you in the truth. And the truth is being proclaimed in faith. In faith and in truth, I'm telling you the truth. And it's so important for you to be able to know that in your heart. Because you will understand as you grow spiritually that everything that you do in your life from now in all eternity is entirely dependent on the integrity of your inward parts. If you're going to see a miracle manifest, you should know that. Everything that God does with you is based on a knowing. And God wants that knowing to be built in truth. It is to be built in a clean conscience. So for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, it is written, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. We have done teaching on that. Faith is substance, the substance of Jesus Christ. And the substance of Jesus Christ bears testimony through a clear conscience. And it's very important that as a minister of the Lord, that you have a clear conscience. That your conscience is not clouded by ambition. That your conscience is not clouded by the love of money. That your conscience is not clouded by your pandering to the needs of people of influence. And Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he talks about all these things. He says, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, he says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. The issue here is walking away from your faith. And you walk away from your faith when your conscience becomes clouded. When you start reinterpreting the Word of God because you want to make money. Because you want to make money, you want to have influence, you want to have power, right? And you start saying things, you start interpreting the Word of God so that you will have so-called fleshly prosperity. So in 11, verse 11, he says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, doing things the right way, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. It is all about faith. If your faith is gone, everything else goes automatically. If the substance of your faith is not of the substance of Jesus Christ, your faith is no longer the kind of faith that God wants you to have. You remember Mark chapter 11, verse 22, right? Where Jesus says, have the faith of God. In the Old King James Bible, in the literal translation. Have the faith of God. The faith of God is given to you in the substance that is of Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the gift, the development of the gift is entirely dependent on the substance of the faith. Lucifer took gifts and he corrupted perfect gifts into absolute acrimony, into absolute chaos. He destroyed the destiny of millions and millions and millions of angels who stood before God. He was very, very impressive with his anointings because those one-third of the angels thought that he could actually be a replacement of God. The love of power, the love of money was what brought him to his downfall. And so you need to understand that the battle is a battle that is fought in the faith reality. And the question is, what kind of substance do you ask the Holy Spirit to preserve within you? What is the substance of your faith based on? The testimony of Jesus or something else? Now we can pursue things in the kingdom of God by loving power, by loving influence, by loving position. And those are all substitutes for Jesus Christ. If you want to be a true minister of the Lord, then you should love Jesus Christ. That is the only guarantee that you will walk in the truth. that you will be there and you have run the good faith. You have fought the good fight. So to rightly divide the word of God, you must make sure that your conscience is clean. To rightly divide the word of God, and Paul talks about that. He tells Timothy, make sure you rightly divide the word of God. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves, self approved to God, not approved to man, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's very important for you to be able to do that. To understand what the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to in your conscience, in your witness. If you lose sight of your conscience, you have lost everything, because you will be lost by what comes upon you, and you will not be able to tell who is speaking to you and who is using you. You will not be able to tell that. I was talking to a young Englishman who was on his way back from Australia. He had just finished his degree in, I think it was engineering. And he was into Eastern mysticism. He came to church and the anointing was very powerful in the day that he was here. At the end of it all, I asked him, how did you find it? He said, it was wonderful, very peaceful. And I said, can you tell the difference between what you experienced in your journeys into Eastern mysticism and this? And he said, it's the same thing. And what shocked me was he couldn't tell the difference. And then I realized what the Bible says, that the devil is an angel of light. That if you don't know Jesus Christ, you won't be able to tell the truth. That if you don't love Jesus Christ, you cannot discern whether you're seeing that which is of God or you're seeing something that is which of something else, some other kind of spirit. You can't tell the difference. It is things like this that have firmly fashioned my inward thought processes into the understanding that you never move out of the witness and testimony of Jesus. It is not worth having a gifting just for the sake of having a gifting. Of what use is a gift if at the end of it all you've lost your life? It is so important that you understand that, because you will not be able to tell the difference. It is just like having a thought. You can have thoughts that are, if your conscience is seared, you can have thoughts and you will not be able to know whether that thought is a right thought or a wrong thought. Have you ministered to people who can't tell the difference between right and wrong? That if you tell them something, it just doesn't occur to them. What's wrong with that? So you need to understand that your insides are very, very important to God. Very, very important before God. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 4, I'm reading from the New American Standard. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Paul ends that line by saying, furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. The right kind of faith. The faith that is held in a good conscience. It's very important that we understand that we are furthering the administration of God. We're not simply doing a job. We are extending the boundaries of the kingdom, and the boundaries of the kingdom are manifested in the hearts of men. So in Luke 17, verse 20-21, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, how is your kingdom coming? And he said, it will not come with signs to be observed. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you, the old King James Bible. It is within you. The boundaries of the kingdom of God are established within human hearts. They are not based on outward signs. So the administration of the kingdom is built on the basis of that which is hidden in the hearts of men. What is your faith based on? Why do you want ministry? What do you want to become in the future? Who do you want to become in the future? Is it based on the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, or is it based on something that is of the world system? Something that is built out of carnal ambition. Built out of the use of talents for one's own agendas. Which is what happens in the world system. People are talented, people are intelligent. They use their talents, they use their intelligence just to get what they want to get. And that same kind of an attitude has been seen in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it has brought havoc into the church. It has brought death and destruction in our midst. It's so important that you and I do not become purveyors of death and destruction. That what is built in what we preach and teach and pray and counsel is a faith built in a good and clear conscience. A faith that stands witness to by God as being true. And your heart knows it very well. And your heart knows it very well. Verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And all that is inside of you. The goal of our instruction. You see, Paul is defining ministry not based on outward signs of how many miracles you do. He's basing it on what you have on the inside. If the inside is right, then what is manifested on the outside will fall in its rightful place. But if the inside is not right, what will manifest on the outside will bring death and destruction. It will bring deception. It will bring deception, right? Let's turn to the book of Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. So Paul writes here again, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. Look at the words that are being used. All power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did not receive the love of the truth. And that's the issue at hand, guys. You minister in the love of the truth. You operate the gifts, you operate the anointings that come upon you in the love of the truth. Only you can ensure that. Nobody else will see it. Nobody else will see it. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They wanted to do the wrong thing. So if you have a desire in your heart to do the wrong thing, and all of us have got such desires. You have them, I have them. The thing is, those desires have to be nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ and be put to death. We all have them. And you have to nail them. That's part of the development of your faith. Why do you want what you want? Why do you do what you do? Those are issues that are very, very important that you need to understand. So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. That's why Timothy is saying the goal, this is why Paul is saying, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now we have done teaching that a pure heart comes only as you set your hope on Jesus Christ. The moment you take your hope out of Jesus Christ and you set your hope on something rather than Jesus Christ, this reality of a pure heart does not come into being. Because a pure heart is the work of God. You and I cannot have a pure heart out of our own efforts. It is something that is fashioned and formed by the grace of God. So if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be purified even as He is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. The reason is because faith is the substance of hope. And if your hope is on Jesus Christ, the substance of your hope will be of Jesus Christ, and it will be pure. Don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Praise the Lord. So if we're doing worship ministry, we must be alive to the Lord. It is not just making music and melody. It is not just going through the motions of doing something out of obligation. Ministry is not a job being done. Ministry is an outworking of your relationship, your regard for God. You're doing ministry to honor God. You're doing ministry in order to fulfill His purposes. Ministry is not a sideline that you do when you have the time. Because you're dealing with human lives. You must always make sure that you prepare yourself rightly before God, before you minister. For your own sake and for the sake of those around you. You know, it's very easy to do ministry just by getting used to anointings. If you function from the anointing within, you will find that you cannot work in the anointing within if you are not close to God. It will never work. I found that out sometimes in very embarrassing situations. And if you don't spend that time with the Lord, it will not work. Now, this is one of the reasons why we have taught our moving into ministry. We have taught this whole school of ministry series based on that witness within. Because there are going to be anointings that come upon us very powerfully. It will come. But you must always relate to those anointings that are coming upon you with the anointing that God has given you through the cross of Jesus Christ. That anointing that is built in wisdom, in blood, water, and spirit. That anointing that functions by the Spirit of Christ. That anointing that is based on Jesus being the guarantee. Because you will find that the inward anointing will not work if Jesus is not your guarantee for something. So those checks and balances, blood, water, and spirit. Not just spirit, 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 spirit. You don't know what spirit is happening. Blood, because blood represents the love and faith of Jesus Christ. So, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, Paul writes, and he says this, "The grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." He's talking not about man's faith and love. He's talking about the faith and love which are found in Jesus Christ. He's talking about the actual faith and love of Jesus being the basis of grace. So remember, your gift is an expression of the grace of God. And your gift must operate in the faith and love of Jesus. And you will know the difference. The faith and love of Jesus will not love sin. The faith and love of Jesus will never be dishonest. The faith and love of Jesus will not pander to the rich. The faith and love of Jesus will not pander to those who are influential. The faith and love of Jesus will always do what is right and what is true. The faith and love of Jesus will be prepared to make hard decisions that may not be appealing to men. Only through the faith and love of Jesus will you have such strength. That's why God gave us Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me. Because he considered me faithful. Now that part of being faithful was Paul's response to Jesus. And you and I have to be faithful to Jesus Christ because we are redeemed in his blood. Putting me into service. You see, he says two things here. I thank Jesus Christ my Lord who has strengthened me and he has put me into service. Because he considered me faithful. He saw me in my response to him. So we need to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know we are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? In your heart, who do you want to glorify? Huh? In your heart, who do you want to glorify? Very simple. Very simple, clear test. When we ache for recognition from human beings, that should be an indicator of something, isn't it? Now, we all have that. We all have the need for recognition from human beings. That has to be replaced by the recognition that comes from God. What is this recognition that comes from God? Let's look at the life of Enoch. Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. I'm reading from the New American Standard because it brings it out very powerfully here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. You know, when you have preached a good message, when you have prayed the right prayer over somebody, have you noticed the amazing peace and the joy that fills your heart? That's what God is talking about through Enoch. Enoch found the witness that he was pleasing to God and God took him up. That's all he had. It was not based on did Enoch pray 24 hours of the day. It was just based on the fact that Enoch found that he was pleasing to God. He knew he was pleasing to God. Let's look at it another way. John presents it another way. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. The key there is the simple word called know. Enoch knew he was pleasing to God. You need to know that you are pleasing to God. You need to know that you have done the work of God. You need to know that what you have spoken is vindicated by God in your conscience and in your witness. You need to know that you have prophesied the right words into somebody's life. That there have been no hidden agendas because that guy happens to be called to high place. And because he is very anointed And because you have ambitions over your ministry, you prophesy 99% of the truth, and then you tell him he must come and join you in the ministry. Huh? Yeah. That's what we mean. Yeah. But if you happen to be a very super anointed person, you always draw people to the name of Jesus and not to yourself and to your ministry. After all, it is the ministry of Jesus Christ that you and I are operating in. Fundamentally, that is the ministry. We are doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are all doing it in different ways because he has given us different giftings, a different gift mix. The Holy Spirit is developing each one of us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ in a gift mix and in a calling that is peculiar to our lives in accordance with the Father's will over each one of us. But it is the fullness of Jesus Christ that must fill all in all. The Bible is very clear on that. The whole definition of the body of Christ is the fullness of him who fills all in all. The purpose of ministry is so that Jesus Christ will fill all in all. Not you and I fill all in all. If you and I fill all in all, people will die. Hello? Huh? And that is the implication. Because you and I can fill all in subconscious and unconscious terms. That's where it's dangerous. When the desire to do that operates in the subconscious and in the unconscious, that's when it becomes. Then you won't be able to tell the difference because your conscience is seared. When your conscience is seared, your ambitions go from the conscious to the unconscious. And it just operates automatically. So everything you say is about yourself. You use the name of Jesus, but you're actually selling yourself. You use the name of Jesus, you talk about the Holy Spirit, but you're selling your ministry. We don't market the gospel. We speak the truth. The word of God is indestructible. There's no need to market it. He who hears, let him hear. He who does not want to hear, let him not hear. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 18 and 19 in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight." There will always be the devil telling you, you are not up to the mark. You're not good enough. You're not ready enough. You're not pious enough. You're not clean enough. You're not perfect enough. You're not capable enough. And you must always remember the word of God that God has quickened into your heart. Whether it was spoken by a man of God, whether it was spoken by a woman of God, whether it came to you when you were reading the scriptures, you must remember what God called you to be. And you must hold on to the words that God has given you. And that's how you fight the good fight. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. What happens when you pray in tongues? Let's turn to the book of Jude. Verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." Now, whose faith is most holy faith? Only God's faith can be called most holy faith. But he is saying, you have that most holy faith. And he says, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when God gives you a word, he says you are a prophet of the living God. And if that word came from God, then that word is invested with the most holy faith of God himself. Yeah? If it is invested with your words and my words, boy, it's in big trouble. But if it's invested with the word of God, with the faith of God, the most holy faith of God, then you stand there and you fight, knowing that that most holy faith will be manifested to your heart. It will be built into the witness within you, and it will become the basis of your ministry. That's what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. Right? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, Moses said to the children of Israel, "The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart." You don't have to go to heaven to find it. You don't have to cross the sea to find it. It is there in your mouth and in your heart. So when you pray in tongues, you have the ability to spiritualize what is contained in the most holy faith of God with the word He has given you. The Rhema word. And you can get into that word spiritually, not with your intellect, but with the tongue that God has given you. When you pray in a tongue, you pray in the mystery. The mystery, it belongs to the hidden things of God, the things that the human mind cannot conceive. So if you can understand this, you will understand that the prophetic word that God has spoken into your life, which is backed up by His most holy faith, will enable you to become that vessel. You have to be willing to stand on that word. It will surely come to pass, because it is not based on you, it is based on God. Amen. It is based on God. We are sons of God. That is based on the faith of God. Hello, we are a royal priesthood. That is based on the faith of God. Who else called us the royal priesthood except God Himself? We are a prophetic people. That is based on the faith of God. We are kings in the making. That is based on the faith of God. So there is some point in your life, in your Christian walk, when these kind of statements that are in the Bible will come alive to you, and you know that it's real to you. And you can stand on that word and you can claim it, and you can claim the reality that is contained in that word. What does it mean to be a son unto God? We don't know. Only God the Father knows what sort of a person you and I have to be sons of God. It is His idea. He calls the shots. It is based on His pure and perfect will. He chose to forgive us. He chose to forget our sin. He chose by grace not to take into account the wrongdoings that we have done. And He does that because of the faith and love that are found in Jesus Christ. That's what the blood is all about. That's why the blood covers our sins. That's why we need to minister in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when we minister in the blood witness of Jesus Christ, we are ministering not merely with our faith, we are ministering with the faith and love of Jesus. And human lives will be touched. People will be convicted of their sin. When you speak the prophetic word into them, it will hit them right inside. It will shatter the strongholds of the hard hearts. It will open the doors. Let there be light, and there was light. When the word is revealed, there is light. So right from the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And when the light manifested, God saw the light, and He said, "It is very good. It is good." So when you speak the word of God and it opens something, it always is good. When you were born again, it was good. It was good. Light was birthed inside of you. So listen to what God has for you. Right? So with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience. Now there is a very thin line between faith and presumption. Eh? Presumption is when you start giving instructions to God. Standing on the word and giving instructions to God are a little bit different. Eh? Only the Holy Spirit can teach you the difference. But sometimes we can end up giving instructions to God. We have to be very careful with our phraseology. When we are children, God overlooks it. Just as you, when you have a little kid, sometimes the little kid gives you instructions, isn't it? So you don't get angry. But if that kid was a 18-year-old teenager and he gives you instructions, and you suddenly realize that he means it, then that's a different thing altogether. You have a serious problem on your hands, right? So that's what we mean. All right? So keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith. That's where they fell. They believed in the wrong things. Lucifer believed that he could become the Most High God. Hello, think about that. Talk about faith gone wrong. Lucifer actually believed he could become the Most High God. Lucifer actually believed that he could take himself up and put him right on top, himself right on top of everybody else. Now, a lot of us believe that too, that we can be above everybody else who is around us. Watch out for that kind of a desire. Can my son sit on your right hand, on your left hand? And Jesus said that is only given by the Father. Yeah? All right. These are all warning signs, right? Warning signs of things that could go wrong, okay? So again, I would remind you, holding to the mystery of the faith with a good and clear conscience. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then there is also, Paul talks about something called the mystery of godliness. Right? What is the mystery of godliness based on? Right? He talks about that. He tells Timothy that you must be a godly man. So how do you become a godly man? Do you go and sit under the mango tree for the next 20 years and wait until the mangoes fall or something like that? Until you see the light. If you sit under the coconut tree and the coconut tree falls on your head, you will surely see the light. Yeah? Does he mean something like that, or is it something else? So let's turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2, 3, and 4. So Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." Hello, it is the power of God that makes you godly. If you're trying in your own strength, you're not going to make the grade. The Greek word for power there is dunamis power. It is the power that comes out of the cross. It is the power that is meant to be developed in you in the witness that God has given you. So don't try and cook it up. Ephesians 3:20 says that God will give you exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think, according to the power that works within you. Now that power is the power of the cross. So that's why Paul writes to Timothy and he says that may you discover the grace of the Lord Jesus, grace of God, because that grace is given to you in the faith and love that are found in Jesus Christ. Can you see that? And the faith and love that are found in Jesus Christ is power, guys. Power to do the right things. Power to be a godly man. It is not based on your efforts. It is based on what you can receive from the Lord. So you pray in the Spirit. Why? So that your most holy faith will be strengthened. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. I'm reading from the New American Standard.
For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. How? By substance. Huh? Hebrews 3:14. You are partakers of Christ, and you will have a confidence of that inside of you. Amen? So watch over your insides. Build your ministry from the insides. Watch what is happening on your insides. Deal with it. Because you will, as you grow in the ministry, come up with all kinds of carnal desires that you have built up over a lifetime, carnal desires that you have developed from your generations before you. And it will come. Step by step, it will come. You discover a new gifting, a new flow of the Spirit of God, new manifestations of power, and lo and behold, your ambitions also will come alive, and you will see it. Deal with it then and there. Deal with it by taking it to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is there in me. Kill it for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So putting it all together, watch your faith. Watch your faith. Chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Work hard at preaching and teaching. Whether you're teaching children, whether you're exhorting children, or whether you're exhorting teenagers or teaching teenagers, whether you're sitting across the fence and telling the old lady next door about the Lord Jesus Christ. Work hard at it. Work hard at it. Hello? Work hard at it. We work hard at so many things that don't stand the test of time. You know? What happened to the hard work that was done 20 years ago? Where is it? You know, you worked burning the midnight oil, and you got this piece of paper that said something. Now 20 years have passed by. All that hard work and the relevance of that piece of paper, what's happened to it? Lessons of life, isn't it? Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't work hard. What I'm saying is understand that there are things in that that God is manifesting through ministry will be rewards that will remain in you forever. You will never lose them. You'll never lose out by working hard at the ministry that God has given you. But please make sure that when you're doing your ministry, God is in it. Don't be caught with doing your ministry by yourself. All right. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I just want to end with these words. Paul speaks to Timothy and he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, or which are found in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Don't go for words that tickle your ears. Listen to the life and testimony of Jesus. If somebody comes and tells you that every day God will give you a new car, if you confess the word, there is something fundamentally wrong with it. Because it stands in as an aberration of God's will. Is that why God created the universe? So that you can have a new car every day to play with? When we were little kids, we used to love these cars, and we used to have these, as little boys, we used to have these model cars, and we used to go into ecstasy. But at the age of 45, when you are a mature man and having a family and all those kind of things and having a responsible job, if you still are playing with cars, there something has gone wrong, isn't it? Huh? It is like those ladies who have to have 500 saris in the cupboard. They can't wear the same thing the next day. Huh? We have to grow up. And there are those people who can't see dust on the mantle. place and they have to keep cleaning the house. Their whole vocation in life is cleaning the house. The others who have to change the curtains and the furniture once every year, otherwise, you know, how can it be? How can people see the same curtains appear again? After all, my great status in life is so high. Yeah? So we really need to understand what we are doing. Hold fast the pattern of sound words in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Keep by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can preserve your insides. Only the Spirit of Christ can preserve your insides. Praise the Lord, shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are chosen instruments in the making. That in fact, as we walk into our ministries, you are creating us as your chosen vessels. You're anointing us and you're teaching us how to use those anointings. And you're building in us the capacity to use those anointings and to operate those gifts, O God, in a good and clear conscience, so that our faith will be always built out of the substance of Christ Jesus' fullness. As we make mistakes, as we deal with our own carnal natures and our own carnal ambitions, O God, it is all part of your work to deal with those things. As we identify those things, as we come alive to those ambitions that we all have, Father, we thank you that your Spirit is at work within us. We thank you that Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for us. We thank you, O God, that he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. We bless you and thank you, O God, that he is the author and finisher of our faith. We bless you and thank you that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and we are ministers of that new covenant. We thank you that you are working with us, O God, that each one of us is so important that it is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who are at exclusive work within us. That's hard for us to comprehend, that the Most High God, Creator of the universe, who can do anything with his words, would sit down and work with each one of us. We can't understand such love. Enable us, O God, to be grateful for what you have gifted us with. Enable us to use it for your glory and your glory alone. Enable us to see the desire to glorify the name of Jesus grow within us. Deal with us, Lord, when our own ambitions cloud us from you. Warn us, correct us. Save us, O God, by your name. Vindicate us by your power. Let everything that is within us be built in the true, full, and perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we commit the gift mix into your hands, asking you, O Lord, to bring out all things in the fullness of Christ Jesus, so that as we walk before the Father, we will walk, O Lord, in holiness and in blamelessness, because we will all be living expressions of the righteousness of God. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen.